Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Think of all the sleep hacks you've ever heard. You could spend years trying them all, or you could instantly transform your sleep with Boll & Branch. They make the softest, most breathable bedding you've ever felt, and it's all 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. Millions of sleepers love their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And you can try all of them for 20% off with promo code Odyssey. So hurry to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I am a man of my word. My net worth is now down a whole quarter from what it was before we started this extravaganza. Since we are now called the Infinity Sports Network. See, I knew it wasn't going to happen like right out of the gate when you're thinking about it. But then when you hear the music at the end of the hour and you rush it out, just naturally, with how many years I worked here at CBS Sports Radio, and we're no longer CBS Sports Radio. Now we're the Infinity Sports Network. The daily lineup does not change. How you consume us does not change. It's just a different name. I knew that there was going to be some moments here in this initial transition where I'm just going to randomly say CBS Sports Radio. So every time I say that, I will put a quarter in this mug in front of us. So now I am out of a quarter. Man, can't believe I didn't even realize it, too. I went back on CBS Sports Radio after these short messages, and I'm just sitting there, and Santa goes, "You said CBS Sports Radio, you moron." And I was like, "Did I really?"
I left out moron. I was thinking it,
no, you
but I didn't
thinking
say
it, though. So we are here on the Infinity Sports Network. It is the Zach Gelb Show. So,
I guess drinks are on me, by the way.
Why would drinks be on you?
I mean, you can't afford it anymore.
Oh. Pipe down there, you pipsqueak. Shut your mouth. I'll walk over there, take that flip-flop off of your foot and smack you over the head with it.
You know what? Here's why you're going to want these flip-flops around as often as possible.
I do not want your flip-flops.
No, not want them. You're going to want them around. Mm-hmm. There's a bottle opener on the bottom of them.
Okay.
I'm not joking. The bottom of each of these flip-flops has a bottle opener.
Oh, is that a dent? Is that an actual bottle opener?
It's an actual bottle opener.
Okay.
These are Reef flip-flops. Mm-hmm. No money being spent there. These are just the flip-flops I have.
And are you being
an actual
serious?
Bottle. Yeah. Both of them have an actual metal bottle opener.
You're that much of a savage?
I mean, I'm not that much of a savage. It was just a cool little added bonus. It's nice when you're sitting out.
Wait, now hold right? on. Bring the flip-flop in the studio now. I need all to right. see. It's tough because there's all these cameras in front of me. I could barely see you. Oh, this is going to be this. I do not want to see these flip-flops, but this is intriguing. Let me see the flip-flop here real quickly. Give me a flip-flop. Oh, my God. That doesn't hurt. There's an actual... I'm touching these things. It's disgusting. That's an actual... You have two bottle openers? And that doesn't... Now, go back the other way so people could actually hear you. That doesn't... Like, Boyle, don't you think... I got to go wash my hands, too, now during the break, by the way. Don't you think if you're walking around with a bottle opener underneath your shoe? Two things. One, I feel like that's got to be uncomfortable. Two, now, you don't have large feet. I have large feet being a size 15. There's a lot of times, what?
My feet are proportionate to my body. I mean, don't
what are you
know.
Six? Well, seven?
No, I'm bigger than that. You know, this is, you know what
eight?
They say about men with small feet and big feet and average sized feet.
Big gloves and big shoes.
Yeah,
I don't know where your dirty mind's going. What are you, a seven?
I'm usually anywhere between like a 7.5 and an 8.5.
Okay. So when I say 6 or 7.
Well, 6 is a big difference. No. 7.5 to 8.5 okay. is a big difference between a 6.
So I have, there's a lot of shoes that I have literally, I'm like Zion. I've bursted through the shoe. So I would be afraid if I bursted through the flip-flop there that the bottle opener would cut the bottom of my foot. That's not uncomfortable when you walk?
Not only is it not uncomfortable, you don't notice it at all. And these are the most comfortable flip-flops I've ever worn. So up until I got these flip-flops, which were a gift,
okay,
I never wore flip-flops. I swore up and down that they are uncomfortable, that they're terrible. I hate flip-flops. Mm-hmm. I got these. I wear them literally any time that it is nice enough that my toes are not cold, I will wear these. They are the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn.
Yeah.
And no, you do not feel anything with the bottle opener.
Now, two things. I'll have a follow-up on that. But first, you could confirm this is a quarter, correct?
Yeah, my eyesight is getting worse as I get older, but that looks like a quarter.
Someone in the chat's like, oh, you're cheating. You put a dime in there. No offense. I could afford the quarter to put in.
Well, hold on a second. Someone can tell what a dime sounds like versus how a quarter
sounds? And also, in my hand, hey, you have no clue what I'm actually putting in. Because this, you know, maybe looks like a dime to some other people, but yeah, this is a quarter. This is an actual quarter. Boom, it goes in the mug. I'm not going to lie about that. I have some morals. Not a lot, but I do have some morals here. Now, Boyle, let me ask you a hygiene question. Boyle is a partier. Boyle enjoys himself. I could see Pat Boyle going down to the shore in the summer, you know, big beach day. Boyle all oiled up with the chest puffed out. You know, I'm on the beach trying to mac, trying to have some fun. You know, sit in the sand and just drinking a lot of cold beverages, adult beverages. Let's just say, Boyle, you're on the beach and someone passes you a beer and you need a bottle opener. If Samter said to you, oh, I got a bottle opener, and then tosses you his flip-flop, would you open the beer bottle with his sandy, dirty, smelly flip-flop?
Depends how thirsty I am.
How many drinks you had beforehand, probably?
And that as well. That would be the second determining factor. I'm a little surprised. If I had any other bottle opener, I would go with it over the bottom of somebody's sandal.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're in dire straits,
beggars
and you're
can't
need
be choosers.
One, yeah, then I guess you take what you can get.
And first of all, people, I've seen people open bottles with their mouths and their
teeth. Disgusting.
Yeah. I've seen people use the most cigarette lighters to open bottles.
That's
what's the difference between the bottom of my shoe versus, you know, some nasty cigarette lighter that's been in your pocket or your teeth and slobbering all over it?
Because
nasty.
Because it's you are walking on the streets of New York City, or in this case, you are walking on the beach. So your flip-flop is covered in dirt and sand, and then it is opening the bottle, which then will be covered in some dirt or some sand, and then I am drinking the bottle. That's disgusting.
Yeah, just wipe the top.
Now, can I ask you a question?
When did you get so froofy? When did you get so, you know...
Froofy?
Soft.
Soft, yeah, man.
No, I'm just...
A little dirt on your the lip of your bottle, you can't
handle?
I'm
not Howie Mandel, when someone gets sick, I build a house and jump into someone's house and avoids my family. But a nasty flip-flop to open up a bottle? Yeah, that's a no for me, dog. I'm good on that one.
That's Randy Jackson.
I know it's Randy Jackson. I know.
Are you skipping Howie Mandel, Randy Jackson? It doesn't matter.
I know Randy just with Simon Cowell and Paul Abdul from American. That's a no for me, dog. I just like saying it. You know, I like saying that's a no for me, dog. Yes, I would not be opening up a beer this summer on the beach. I could do some disgusting things. I'm not using your flip-flop to open up my my beer.
Do you share drinks? Do you have a problem with sharing drinks?
Do I share drinks? If I am, let's say, with a lady friend, I'll share a drink. If it's like my buddy is on the beach and we're drinking beers, I'm not sharing drinks.
Or like, well, not even just share, like, not like, hey, let's pass this back and forth. Like, if somebody says, yo, try this, are you drinking it?
Yeah, I'll try it. Yeah, that's fair. If they want me to try and sample some of their alcohol, I will probably.
And what's your take on the straw? Right, like a rum and coke.
No,
you going straw?
No,
you going right
out
of the glass?
I'm not using someone else's straw.
No, what about like just any straw? Right, like you get like a rum and coke and there's a straw in it. You going straw? Because I know a lot of guys who just don't use straws at all.
Oh, no, I'll use a straw.
Okay.
If they give me a drink with a straw. See, you know what's weird when it comes to my alcohol intake? If let's say we're in like a competitive mood and we're like chugging beers. If I'm chugging a beer out of a bottle or a can, I suck. You put the beer in a cup, I delete the beer. Delete it, like, instantly. So, I don't know. Who was the – was it Chuck Knobloch for the Yankees? Who had the
Wade Boggs.
No. Who had the throwing issue?
Oh, Chuck Knobloch.
It was Chuck Knobloch.
Yeah. He had the yips.
Yeah, he had the yips. I get the beer chugging yips if it's in a can or if it's in a bottle. But you put that sucker in a cup, I am Babe Ruth, all right? Like, I am one of one. I am maybe the GOAT, as the kids would say. But okay. I'm not using to open up that beer bottle, your nasty, gnarly flip-flop.
I haven't chugged a beer in quite a while.
Have you ever used that?
Yeah, of course.
You actually will open...
in front of people?
It's actually on brand for Samter. Samter is actually a surprisingly funny person. And when I've been on road trips with Samter, if there's ever an issue or a problem, Samter always has like a quirky solution. So if I was at a hotel, and let's say for whatever reason we couldn't open up a beer bottle or something, and Samter passed me his flip-flop, it would be on brand for Samter. It would be.
By the way, nice backhanded compliment. Surprisingly funny.
That's a compliment.
Surprisingly. It shouldn't be surprising. I should be, you know, expectedly funny.
You would admit you have a little bit of a reputation around here where there's some newer people that come in where they could be a little bit afraid of you.
I certainly have an intimidation aspect of me, but I don't think, you know... Boyle doesn't like me, but he's not afraid of me. You know, it's different.
What are you talking about? Not only do I not like you, I am afraid of you.
No, but I will say this about the bottle opener on the shoe. Sitting outside on a nice, hot summer day, and you have a beer in your hand, you just take it out of the cooler, your leg is kind of like up on your lap, you just kind of lean over, pop the top, and boom, you're right there. You never have to move. You don't have to reach into your pocket, you don't have to look on the fridge, boom, it's just right there.
I really would love to see Sam, like a setting where Samter pulls this off in a bunch of, in front of a bunch of people that he doesn't intimately know well, and they just, like, just to see the reactions.
You know what? I know what we'll do here at the Infinity Sports Network. I am going to pay Samter to hang out with Jack Stern.
No, thank you.
And I want you two go out to an establishment and give Jack a beer without a bottle opener, and then you give him your sandal to open up the bottle.
You know, I'll do that with
Jack. If you think I was mystified by this, like, I will eventually end the conversation and just be like, either that's cool or that's stupid. Jack will pester you with question after question after question after question.
Yeah, you're going to have to say CBS Sports Radio about 10,000 more times to fill up that mug before I'll actually go out and have a beer in that setting.
You got it. I'm paying you to drink. You wouldn't do it for the beauty of the show?
It depends. It depends how much you pay me.
Okay.
I mean, listen.
$100.
You know, we're talking about voluntary workouts and everything.
$100.
Yeah, $100, I'll do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a tough negotiation here. I thought I was going to have to, like, jack up that price.
Nah, $100 is fine.
Okay. Gotcha. I'll give Jack a text tonight. It's the Zach Gelb
Mike
show.
And Ike, what does Zach think about us hanging out having beers?
On the Infinity Sports Network. Davante Adams, I did see that he recently said that if I wanted to be gone, I'd be gone by now. This is where I want to be. He said it to The Athletic in regards to his tenure with the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders. What was that?
We have the code.
Oh, you want to hear Devontae
saying it? Yes.
Oh, sorry. I thought that this was just something that was said to The Athletic and then it was just written. I did not know that this was audio. So, you know what? Give me the audio, okay? Let's play the audio. Go on.
If I wanted to be gone, I'd be gone by now. So I would not pick to come here. This is where I want to be. And obviously, if you're not winning and things are not going the way you want, you know, you either want to things change to get headed in the right direction or something else has got to change. So, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to be a Raider.
Hey, Devontae, quick follow-up. At the party that you're at right now, does anyone need a bottle opener on any of the beers that people are drinking? If so, I have a guy. I have a foot guy, Samter. He'll give you his flip-flop to open up that beer. That was an interesting background. I wasn't expecting. You had a party? Is it benefit? I don't know what it was.
It sounded like maybe like a
like an outdoor event.
Yeah, like a, you know, bunch of kids around maybe. Mm-hmm.
So I agree with what Davante Adams said, but I also roll my eyes at it. Yeah, you want to be there for this season. You made it clear, you and Max Crosby, that you wanted Antonio Pierce to be the head coach. You use you potentially requesting a trade as bargaining power to ensure, and he should have got the job, that Antonio Pierce became the next full-time coach of the Raiders. Let me just throw a little scenario out there. Let's say the first round of the draft comes and the Raiders don't take a quarterback. Now, Gardner Minshew was fine, but Davante Adams is used to playing with Aaron Rodgers. I know that his evaluation of quarterbacks can be a little questionable, let's just say. Not Rodgers, but because he was college teammates with Derek Carr, he thought Derek Carr was all that when Derek Carr is such an overrated quarterback, and I've been sick of Derek Carr for a while. So now you go from Rodgers to Carr, then this past year, a bevy of quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo, Aiden O'Connell, and now you're either going with the rookie or you're going with Gardner Minshew. If the season doesn't go how Davante Adams expects it to be, and let's say Davante Adams' numbers take a little bit of a hit, I then think the year of being with Antonio Pierce and you wanting that to be happen, it does fade away. Where, yes, you love Antonio Pierce, but you also want to go to a place that you could win. And the dead cap number would have made it tough. Possible, but would have made it tough to get rid of Davante Adams this offseason. It shrinks significantly from 2024 to 2025. The dead cap right now on the surface is $40 million, a little over 40. Next year, with 2 years remaining on his contract after this year, 2025 and 2026, it goes to $15.7 million. The year after that, $7.8 million. So Davante Adams wants to be on the Raiders now. I'm not going to sit here and say that he wants to be on the Raiders for the rest of his career, or he's going to be there even through the duration of this contract. So I'm fascinated by what the Raiders do next Thursday and what the Vikings do next Thursday. Because both have top three wide receivers. Adams already has the contract. Jefferson's looking for the new contract. And I think Justin Jefferson's the best wide receiver in football today. And both don't have clarity at the quarterback position. Gardner Minshew could prevent the ship from sinking. You're not going to win anything of significance with Gardner Minshew. The Vikings, they can't be trotting out Sam Darnold come week one. Sam Darnold's remembered for seeing ghosts and getting mono. So stop selling me on this idea that Sam Darnold is going to have some success in the NFL. So the Vikings and Raiders are both talked about, the Vikings more so than the Raiders, about trading up in the draft. Vikings are at 11, Raiders are at 13. And I look at the draft. We know the Bears, are taking Caleb Williams at 1. We know that the Commanders will take a quarterback at 2. Probably. I hope it's not because I want him on my team, but probably it's going to be Jaden Daniels. The Patriots at 3 are fascinating. Will they take the quarterback or will they trade the pick back? So that's a potential trade-up spot for the Vikings and the Raiders at 11 and 13. The Cardinals, a potential trade-up spot at 4. Here's something that I'll bring up. The Chargers are at 5. I think we could all agree the Chargers are a potential trade situation. The Vikings had Jim Harbaugh in for an interview 2 years ago, interviewed him for like 11 or 12 hours, and then didn't give him the job. Is there going to be a little spike game there? The Vikings are desperate. They call up the Chargers. We need a quarterback. Does Harbaugh maybe say, yeah, I'll trade that pick to the Raiders instead? And I know there's been some past flirtations with the Raiders and Harbaugh too. But the Vikings, he sat through that entire interview process and didn't get the job. And there's some rumors on why he didn't get the job, some in the organization not liking him. So I wonder if Harbaugh will play the spike card. But for the Vikings and the Raiders, they got to jump the Giants because the Giants want a quarterback. So 3, 4, and 5 in this draft are all trade-watching scenarios. Patriots, Cardinals, and then the Chargers. And I can't wait to see how it plays out. And maybe, right, if the Vikings or the Raiders, one of them aren't able to trade up, maybe one of them gets Michael Penix Jr. Because it feels like right now, First quarterback off the board will be Williams. Second will be Jaden Daniels. And I don't know where Drake May and J.J. McCarthy are going to go, but those two other guys, May and McCarthy, I would be surprised, not saying they deserve to go, but I would be surprised if they don't go in the top six. So let's say, I don't know, a team that is not named the Vikings or the Raiders moves up into the top five, and you have all four quarterbacks go in the top five that are talked about first rounders, Williams, Daniels, May, and McCarthy, or at least four in the top six, and the Vikings and Raiders aren't going to move up or couldn't move up. At 11 or 13, then you get into Michael Penix Jr. conversation. And then that's a decision that has to be made. Do you wait on a quarterback and take a quarterback or figure out your quarterback in a different year? Or if you can't execute the deal, do you take Michael Penix Jr. at 11 or 13? I feel like the Vikings have to, because it's the future of Jefferson. And Jefferson and Addison kind of reminds you like a Washington scenario where Michael Penix had his most success, then translating into the NFL. The Raiders, though, I don't think they have to, because at least you have a fine enough backup in Gardner Minshew. But then once again, I know Minshew was a nice story last year. Does anyone think Minshew's going to be, right, the dude in Vegas this year? Personally, as much as I love Minshew with the mustache and everything, I don't. So there will be five quarterbacks that go in the first round. I know four will go in the top six. But once those four do go as projected in the top six, then the big question is, when does Michael Penix Jr. go? And the Vikings or Raiders' ability or inability to trade up may determine how early Michael Penix Jr. does go in this draft.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Think of all the sleep hacks you've ever heard. You could spend years trying them all, or you could instantly transform your sleep with Boll & Branch. They make the softest, most breathable bedding you've ever felt, and it's all 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. Millions of sleepers love their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And you can try all of them for 20% off with promo code Odyssey. So hurry to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com. See site for details.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That's right. It is the Infinity Sports Network, and this is the Zach Gelb Show. So over the weekend, oh, it was Thursday night. Sorry, I was off on Friday, so but my weekends, that's when I think the weekend starts. But I was off on Friday and Thursday evening. I'm sitting around and getting ready to go to Connecticut in the morning to go see Bruce Springsteen and the legendary E Street Band. And a friend of the show, Mark Pope, it was reported that he's the new coach at Kentucky. And I'm like, wow. So we knew on Thursday, during Thursday's show, that Scott Drew said thanks, but no thanks. And then a lot of people thought the pivot would be right to Billy Donovan. And a lot of the reporting is like that the Wildcats weren't that interested in Billy Donovan. Maybe behind the scenes he said thanks, but no thanks. And they could have waited for him through the play-in tournament. But then if they got into the actual playoffs and they had another series and they had to lose four times before they get eliminated, then who knows if they could have waited that long. But Mark Pope was a name that was floated out there by John Rothstein. So give John credit, because he was the first person that I saw float out the name Mark Pope. And my initial reaction to the Mark Pope hire was, I don't think it was going to be met in a positive way, but personally, I didn't think it was a bad hire. Because we got into those names. You couldn't get Jay Wright. You couldn't get Dan Hurley. Scott Drew says no. And then I said, what happens if Billy Donovan says no? And the name that I threw out there was Bruce Pearl. I thought Bruce Pearl would have been a wonderful hire. We had on one Kentucky reporter who suggested maybe a reunion with Rick Pitino. Others said Sean Miller, Tommy Lloyd, Shaka Smart's name was even floated out there. Like, once you got past potentially no Donovan, and Donovan is a risk, even though he won two championships at Florida, but he hasn't coached in college basketball since 2015, and he hasn't dealt with the name, image, and likeness era. Now, I think he could absolutely win. There's no doubt about it. He could return to college basketball tomorrow and win. But when you got into the names of people after Scott Drew, outside of Billy Donovan, it was a lot of humina, 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 humina. So the Mark Pope hire, where he's coached at Utah Valley, and now the last few years has been at BYU, I think it's a solid hire considering the circumstances. Where you weren't getting Scott Drew, you obviously had no chance for Jay Wright, you had no chance for Dan Hurley. So the Mark Pope hire, it's surprising, but surprising doesn't mean that it's a bad hire. And what you've seen happen is Coach K and Roy Williams both walked away. They retired. John Calipari left to go to another school because he knew his time was coming to a close at Kentucky. So the Hubert Davis and John Shire hires by UNC and Duke had the fingerprints of a Roy Williams and a Coach K on them making those decisions. So I get it, what I'm about to say. John Calipari didn't make this hire. But it's almost like Mitch Barnhart kind of followed what Duke and UNC did, where you bring one of your own, and I know Hubert Davis and I know John Shire were already on the staffs. So they were already there. But Mark Pope was the captain of the 1996 Kentucky Wildcats that won a national championship. He has paid his dues where he's been a head coach at other spots. Not like you're just saying, oh, we're hiring a Kentucky guy to hire a Kentucky guy, and he's only been an assistant or he doesn't have any head coaching experience. He's had head coaching experience. Now, this is an enormous job, and this is one of the prime real estates in college basketball, and this is a creme de la creme job. So I'm not expecting this to be met in a very positive way because you thought it would be a bigger name, but just because it's not the bigger name doesn't mean it's a wrong hire. And here's what I know about Mark Pope. Mark Pope won the press conference. We knew that was going to happen. Mark Pope is an exuberant personality dude, and his teams like to shoot a lot of three-pointers. And even though he hasn't had tournament success, what tournament success are people really expecting where he's been before? So Mark Pope was ready for the next job. I didn't think his next job was going to be Kentucky. But I think in the big picture, and there's going to be after maybe be some tough years before there's been great years, I think this more, maybe indictment's not the right word, but this is more of an indictment on what a coach is now. I know that sounds weird. In the year of 2024. Like the big name coach. And like that legendary. Because we had so many of them. And it's so tough to like replace the legends, right? But I think coaching now, you can't be the drill sergeant anymore, but you don't want to be a doormat. I think there's a fine line here. And there's a new era coach now in college sports because of dealing with NIL and dealing with the transfer portal, where it's going to be tougher for the legendary coaches to exist because a lot of those legendary coaches, right, have the power, they have the clout, and it's their word or get out. Now the players have options where they could get out a lot more easier. So I think Mark Pope, even though you wouldn't have ever thought he would have got the job when the search started, it fits what people are looking for in a coach in 2024. Now, the introduction was a badass intro. But we know Big Blue Nation is like second to none. They packed that entire stadium for a press conference a dang press conference over the weekend when people like have actual things to do. So the fanfare was remarkable. And to stroll into the press conference on a bus, walking off the bus with your 1996 Kentucky Wildcat teammates, it's brilliant. Because on social media, and I understand social media is not a true reflection of society. Like, there's a lot of people that will tweet you and mean, nasty, and disgusting things on social media. And then you never hear those things in the street. And most people that you meet when you're in a job like this or you're in a coaching profession, most people say positive things when they see you face to face. But behind the internet, that's when a lot of the nastiness occurs. But it was crazy that you had a packed house where he got a standing ovation. And on social media, you would have thought this was a hire that was going to set back Kentucky basketball for at least a decade. So it just shows you that social media and the trolls on social media is not a true reflection of our society. So I wish Mark Pope nothing but the best. But I haven't seen, like, the Coach Cal introductory press conference at Arkansas, I thought was cool. I'm a sucker for the pig suey chant, right? You had the Tyson chicken guy getting a standing ovation. Oh, like, that was cool. But that was a pimple on the you-know-what of what Kentucky was able to do at their introductory press conference. And it all started with the fans not only being there, but then playing to the fans and bringing out the 1996 champions. Let's hear one soundbite from Mark Pope. This is Mark Pope on the expectations at Kentucky.
Every coach in America, at every other job in America, stands up at their press conference and they try and moderate expectations. We don't do that here at Kentucky. I understand the assignment. We are here to win banners.
And that's not just bull junk that you hear from a coach. Because we had Mark Pope on before he even knew the Kentucky job was going to be open and before he was even a candidate or the fact that he was going to get the job. And I asked about John Calipari, and he thought Coach Cal was the right guy. And he also said in that clip when he joined us that if you don't win four championships in a five-year span at Kentucky, then you always will hear it from the fans because that, like, the expectations are set that high. So it's kind of crazy that a little over a week ago, we were sitting with Mark Pope talking about the Kentucky job and John Calipari, and then poof, that job opens up with Cal going to pig suey with the Razorbacks, and now Mark Pope is the next head coach of the Wildcats.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
What the heck is going on out there? I'm taking my quarterback. We're the Infinity Sports Network. That imaging was updated. Come on! Samter and Boyle, we working today or are we hardly working? I'm not actually that mad. It happens. So, it's all right. You don't have to look all bewildered. Samter looks like he's wanting to, like, kill someone right now, and Boyle just looks happy to be here. We could pop me back up on the stream, by the way, on YouTube, so you can see my beautiful mug. Let's not, like, it's all right. It's a new network. Even though it's the same thing, just name change, and all the hosts are here to say. But man, I know that was edited correctly to make sure that we had our new intro. Was it not, Santa? Let's see. Is Santa going to throw someone under the bus here, or was there a boo-boo behind the scenes? What's the truth? What just happened here? I got my quarterback, so I'm very happy.
I think somebody should be thrown under the bus. It does say Zach Gelb Backstreet Boys ISN open.
Oh, so someone messed it up. Someone messed it up. I listened to one without the mention of the old network, and it was good to go. So, do I get to keep my quarter now? Because when I say it, I put a quarter in.
No, someone else has to put a quarter in. We'll have to figure out who.
Okay.
Either me or this other person.
Gotcha. My quarter's back in.
Now, keep your quarter in there.
Do you think I could leave this mug here with the quarter in it? And the quarter will still be there tomorrow? Do you think someone will five-finger discount my quarter?
855. Who would take it?
855-212-4227. If I had to put odds, well, shows that emanate from here, It's Maggie and Perloff.
Correct.
Bill is in L.A. Jim is in L.A.
Bart's not here.
Bart's not here. JR is not here. And Amy's here. So it'd only be Maggie and Perloff and Amy. All three of those people, I don't think they need the quarter. I'm just going to say that.
Weekend hosts.
Weekend hosts? Little vending machine? Quarter action? Absolutely. Absolutely. All righty. Let's update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Let's get to up. Are you guys ready today? Can't get the rejoin back. I'm ready to go to a news brief. And now I'm telling that I have to stall here. I'm throwing people under the bus here. I have no patience.
That one's on me. The Backstreet Boys messed me up because I had my place marker on it. I was going to drag it up. All right, let's do it.
Okay, let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start off with Andrew Luck. Has he ever considered returning to the NFL?
Ever that itch to, you know, I'm healthy. I could do this again. You know, or I could do it, you know.
I think when I retired, that part of it was put to bed in my mind in a very simple sort of direct. Nah, there was a lot of complications around it. You know, it certainly tormented inside, you know, and as you guys saw, you know, that night. But I think that part of it has stayed in a simply squared away.
This question is so stupid. Like, Samter, let me ask you this, because you're a good producer. We're having Andrew Luck on the show today. Let's say that audio clip didn't emerge. Do I have to ask him if he'll ever return to football when the last time he played was in 2018 and now he's 34 years old? Would you be annoyed if I didn't ask him that?
Yeah, I mean, everyone has to ask that question. And this question was more, had you ever considered it?
Okay, that's fine.
That's more, I don't think at this point anyone's expecting him to come back. But up until a year or two ago, people were always throwing his name out there when Phil Rivers went
stupid.
Away.
Stupid. This guy literally retired and walked away because he made a promise to himself if he ever got hurt again and couldn't fully practice, he would walk away. And he had the stones to stick through with that. And he retired. I never thought, because it's injuries why he walked away, that he would ever return. And it's crazy. Like, maybe if someone ever called him, things like that, okay. But this idea of him ever coming back when he last was a member of the Colts in 2018 is just a jackassery to me. Here's Scotty Scheffler. I'm winning another green jacket at Augusta.
I tried not to let my emotions get the best of me this time. I kept my head down. I don't even think I took my hat off and waved to the crowd when I was walking up 18. I did my best to stay in the moment. I wanted to finish off the tournament the right way. And I got to soak it in there after one putting instead of four putting, which was a little bit better.
So there you go from Scotty Scheffler. Congratulations to him. Let's hear legendary play-by-play man Sean McDonough. He was doing a little play-by-play. I think it was of Scotty Scheffler's sister hitting a golf ball. And she just absolutely, it was an ugly golf shot. That's all I'll say. And this is what Sean McDonough had to say.
Oh, no.
Sister Sarah Scheffler. Little fat, the shot. She's obviously very fit.
That was on the Wednesday right before the Masters. That's just so unfortunate for Sean McDonough. Like, it was, everyone knows what he means. Like, oh, it was a little fat, the shot. But when you say Scotty Scheffler's sister, little fat, like, what are you doing, bro? You know, she's fit, obviously, the shot. That's unbelievable. Did you guys like Sean McDonough when he did play-by-play for Monday Night Football?
I think he was okay. I thought he was good. I just think he had those unfortunate day where he had something going on and you had the and then it happened again. He had two of those. I think he's great on hockey. That's probably his best
college
sport.
Football, he's awesome.
Yes.
See, I always like the voice crack. When you get a touchdown, you're like, 10-5 touchdown! I've always loved that from a play-by-play guy.
Really? That's like a cardinal sin.
Yeah, from you button-up, boring broadcasters. I thought Sean McDonough was very good on Monday Night Football. It was just that he would always criticize the referees, which I was a fan of, but the NFL didn't like that. Let's go to Tiger Woods on just finishing at the 2024 Masters?
It was a good week. It was a good week all around. I think that coming in here and having not have played, you know, a full tournament in a very long time, it was a good fight on Thursday and Friday. Unfortunately, yesterday didn't quite, you know, turn out the way I wanted to.
I hate to say it because I felt this way going into the Masters, and I get it. Tiger's body has been through a lot of unfortunate things. But Tiger Woods, when he was asked about if he thinks he could win this weekend, he's like, if my body holds up, yeah, I think I can. Like, whenever you're Tiger and you have to say something with how confident you were in the past with an if, it shows that your confidence is not really there. And for Tiger Woods, who was 16 over, and I said a good week for Tiger would just be getting through and playing all four rounds. So, in essence, I said that, so it's tough for me to criticize him now. But knowing who Tiger is, when you're saying he had a good week and he was 16 over, that just shows you can never expect Tiger to win another major again. And what he did a few years back, right, at the 2019 Masters is crazy. It's ridiculous. And that's the last major that he's ever going to win. But, you know, with everything he's been through, some self-inflicted and others, you know, you just can't prevent injuries all the time. It stinks. It stinks when you have to hear Tiger speak that way. Here is Jon Rahm talking about LIV Golf.
You made some comments to BBC about understanding the gravity of your decision to go to LIV Golf. When you did that, was part of that motivation to try to bring the game together? And did you expect there to be kind of more movement toward that by now?
I understood my position, yes. And I understood that it could be what I hoped, a step towards some kind of agreement, yes. Or more of an agreement or expedited agreement. But unfortunately, it's not up to me. But I would hope it would be something that would help expedite that process. But at the end of the day, I still did what I thought was best for myself.
Yeah, you took the bag. And that's always my problem with the LIV Golf guys. Just be honest and say, I'm taking the money. And he kind of did it there. But this idea that him going to LIV Golf is going to unify and expedite the LIV Golf and the PGA relationship, even with the financial merger that we still have no clue about, like, stop it. He was in a salty mood all week long at Augusta. And how about you have some class, Jon Rahm, too? You just won the championship last year. You know you have to give the green jacket to the new winner in Scottie Scheffler, who's a previous winner, too. He looked like he wanted no part of that ceremony. I was very disappointed with Jon Rahm and how he carried himself. I get it. You didn't play well. But as a Masters champion and how rich a tradition there is at Augusta National, you got to at least put a little smile on your face there during the ceremony. Let's go to Dana White after UFC 300. He announces something pretty big for the future.
I'm getting notes. This has never happened before. June 1st. Newark, New Jersey pay-per-view. Main event, Islam versus Poirier. Co-main event, 5 rounds, Strickland versus Costa. June 29th, Conor versus Chandler. Woo! 5 rounds, 170 pounds.
I know a voice in the background there. That's former CBS Sports Radio producer. I know we're now the Infinity Sports Network, but he's never worked on the Infinity Sports Network. He's not with the company anymore. That's Ike Feldman screaming "Let's go" in the background. I guarantee you Ike Feldman was at that event and he's the one screaming "Let's go." I could recognize that voice from, even though that event was in Las Vegas and we're sitting here in New York City just hearing that audio. So great that Conor McGregor's coming back because it will draw more interest to the sport of UFC, but I think he's going to get destroyed by Michael Chandler. And I actually hope that he does too. Alrighty, WNBA draft coming up in a bit. Caitlin Clark is going to be the number one overall pick. We will be back tomorrow. A lot of football to get to. A lot of NBA with the play-in tournament starting tomorrow as well. Day one in the books for the Infinity Sports Network. Big thanks to Patty Boyle. Big thanks to Mike Samter and each and every one of you. New name of the network, but we continue to give you the same great old content. Nothing's changing from the shows that you like to listen to each and every day. All righty, everybody. We out. Bye-bye.
Peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.